Welcome to Classy Ring Attire. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
It's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
This Sunday.
Sunday.
Sunday, 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 Night of Champions.
I feel weird, Joel.
Do you feel funny on the inside?
I have a funny feels. inside of me. I'm excited for Night of Champions?
That can't be right. That sounds wrong. No.
That's why it's a weird feels.
You must have mixed up words there. Do you mean to say Royal Rumble?
No.
Are you excited for Royal Rumble?
No, because it's clearly September.
No. Do you mean to say dreading? Because that sounds right. I'm dreading Night of Champions. That sounds like a normal thing to say.
I've searched my feelings. but dread isn't one of them.
Do you know them to be true?
I think I know this one to be true.
I have to, like, cautiously agree with you.
At least for, like, I would say, like, two matches? Definitely two matches? Well,
yeah,
but like, before that, it was just one match, but after Monday Night Raw, and now it's two.
I mean, alright, like, a few weeks ago, we spoke about Night of Champions.
Yes.
And I said, you know, basically, I'm just excited about CM Punk and John Cena, mm-hmm. and I'm only excited about them because CM Punk's in it. Like,
right.
And I'm obligated to be excited
and
about CM Punk.
It's a decent story, but it's just, why are they using it for Night of Champions?
Yeah.
You know?
And so, like, in the past couple of weeks, let's go through Night of Champions.
Alright.
Starting with the pre-show.
Starting with the pre-show, we got a Battle Royal to determine the number one contender, the participants of which aren't announced. I'm assuming it's just a large number of guys,
yeah.
Like kind of like over the limit.
I'm assuming like the standard,
yeah,
you know, Battle Royale fillers.
So we kind of just have to like assume which guys are going to be in it and just kind of hope for someone, probably a face.
Yeah,
since how the winner's going to go up against Antonio Cesaro, whatever. I always mess up his last name.
Yeah.
I mean, I know what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for, if it has to be a face, I'm hoping for Tyson Kidd.
Tyson Kidd? Is that your prediction of the winner?
That's my hopeful prediction.
I mean, it's, you know, like, we gotta make, it's technically the prediction show to make your official Night of Champ predictions. And like, this is the one where you're like, this is gonna be the biggest shot in the dark. So,
you know what? Why not? I'm going to say Tyson Kidd.
Tyson Kidd works. I'll say Zack Ryder to be different.
All right. Fair enough. It's a battle royal. I mean, those are pretty hard to go wrong. So I'll give it a 3 maths.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it as much as the usual. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's better than like some of the other matches that have been the pre-show.
Right. So, next up is Sheamus and Del Rio, which I think we're in agreement on. We are, on principle, not looking forward to this match.
No, I'm actually dreading this match, because I don't care. Like, I know I say that every week, that I just don't care. I have no other words to describe how I feel about it. Like,
I agree that, like, of the storyline, the worst part about it is that Sheamus and Del Rio are fighting. Like,
yeah. And I mean,
the thing is, like, I'm really digging this whole background story with the you know, band bro kick.
Really?
And
I can't stand it. I think it's the stupidest thing ever.
I mean,
because they already had this storyline on SmackDown with Edge and the Spear.
Yeah.
Like, not even, what, 2 years ago?
That's a fair point.
Between him and Ziggler?
Although, there's some difference.
And then a couple years before that, they did the same thing with the Hell's Gates thing with Undertaker, and they tried to get that banned. Yeah, all on SmackDown.
Let me first clarify that the actual act of banning the bro kick and the intrigue that it has put into the match, quote-unquote, is not what I'm talking about.
Oh, you're talking about the deposition,
yes,
video. Okay, I will admit that is, it's holding my hatred at bay. Let's say that's saying quite a bit for me.
I'm not ready to jump down and yell the terribleness of the banning a move stipulation.
All right.
I mean, as a match stipulation, it's always interesting. It provides good opportunity for them to be creative in their match work. And the biggest problem I have with just match work in general is the
same stuff.
The go-to same stuff. And especially with finishers.
Yeah, which explains the new intrigue with this move that he's starting to use, the Texas Cloverleaf or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously that's probably going to how... This is probably going to be how the match ends. Because Lord knows he's not going to use White Noise, because that is the dumbest move ever.
So,
and if they banned the bro kick, wouldn't they really have to ban every kick?
Kicking?
Because it's all the same, it just depends on the leg behind it.
Yeah. But yeah, let's talk about the deposition.
Alright, let's talk about the deposition.
Did you, like the rest of us, miss everything from the Lipschitz joke onward the first time you watched it?
Oh, you know I did, because we were sitting there watching, and...
I'm asking the audience.
Oh, well, I don't care about you, audience.
Because we did.
I don't mean the audience. I love you. I do. They were moving on to the next point, they're having their serious talk, and I was, out of nowhere, I just started giggling because I just thought of the Lipschitz joke again.
There is some writer who they have, like...
They've been holding on to that.
Punished.
Yeah.
They have punished and put him in the corner. It's like, you get to write the video segments.
And he was like, okay.
And he has poured his heart and soul into these video segments.
That's all he has left.
These past couple of weeks. And he has been returning gold to them every week.
That guy needs a pay raise.
Yes.
How great would it be if the guy that was playing Harold was the writer?
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome
because it would give a reason for Harold to come back on and be there all the time.
We'll talk about our feelings about Harold.
About Harold.
Yeah.
I hope that they revert back to World Heavyweight Champion opening the night, because I want this match
over with.
One and done. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care about it. I think Del Rio needs some serious revamping. I don't know if he should get some away time to, like, rest and relax, because that's kind of what killed it first place.
Yeah, he had away time, and he came back more stale than he was before.
Right, so...
The thing about this I don't... You can't even call it rivalry. And that's where it loses a lot of intrigue with me. It's all one-sided. Sheamus has not lost the belt. He hasn't really been threatened all that closely for the belt... For Del Rio to actually win the belt. How is this a feud?
Yeah.
How does it make Sheamus look better? He's just beating the same guy month after month.
That's the thing, is like, anything you could pretend to consider being intrigue with the heavyweight title scene is all like Dolph Ziggler and, you know, Randy Orton. And this kind of like stuff we know is going to happen, but we're just kind of waiting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're just, like, going through the motions until they can get the title to some other people, which I'm pretty sure we're going to have to wait until, you know, 12 rounds to...
Finishes.
Which is 24 rounds for math time. But,
So, with that being said, I will give this match -1 math.
Alright. Who do you predict wins?
I don't care. Sheamus. Why not?
I'll choose Del Rio then.
just to be different?
Yes. I mean,
all right.
I mean, he's either going to the ending of the match is going to be
accepted.
The end of the match is going to be Sheamus uses his little cloverleaf Jimmy kick submission, or Del Rio goes into using the bro kick and wins by something.
So. Yeah, but there's no stipulation in the match.
Yeah, SmackDown hasn't happened yet.
Fair enough. Oh, see, no, because Booker T said on Monday...
He will be stripped of the title.
Right, but that doesn't mean Del Rio gets it.
Wait till SmackDown.
Alright, whatever.
I feel fairly confident.
Don't make me have to watch SmackDown, dude. really, I made that mistake last week. I really would not want to make that mistake again.
Next up, we have Layla versus Caitlyn.
There's something weird going on with the Divas Division right now.
And there is.
It feels like they're just shuffled. I don't know if, you know, they had planned, or they had put so much into planning for Karma coming back, and then when that didn't happen, they just were kind of out of sorts for a while, and they're just scrambling. Or if they just really don't have any ideas or whatever, but it seems like they just don't even know from week to week what's going on with the Divas Division.
So, the basic setup in this past week, we had this, you know, three-man tag team fighting each other. And Tag Team A was two Divas we were to understand to be faces with a heel, and then two heels with who we understood to be a face.
Right.
And so, what? And then, also, why is it a face versus face match?
Right.
Going into the championship?
Well, I mean, from what I heard, the Diva Battle Royal that happened a couple weeks ago, the ending was botched, and Eve was supposed to just land on the apron and not touch the floor, and she would come back and beat Caitlyn, but Eve missed, and Caitlyn is the new number one contender.
But here's the thing. If that's the case, which I've heard that too, and it might be the case, but if that's the case, why in the weeks leading up to it have they not somehow had Caitlyn put that number one contendership on the line? They have 3 hours to fill. How can they not squeeze in a Caitlyn versus Eve match
and
with that stipulation?
Why haven't they just gone ahead with... If they're just going to leave it as is, how come they just haven't gone ahead with putting Layla up against Caitlyn, like, building up the feud or something?
Right.
But they really haven't. They just... They've shown Eve is up to something weird.
Eve's doing this, like, good sportsmanship thing. And Layla's getting a, you won this match for us? It's like, anger face. So, like, I don't know if they're... It's very possible that they're just, like, you know, darts at a wall.
And thanks, WWE, for just making good sportsmanship look like such a rare thing. Like, why is she doing that? She's being a good sport. Why? She must be up to something terrible.
I don't understand this.
I don't understand this nice...
good sports?
This being kind and courteous to people.
Speaking of foreign language here.
I don't know if I approve of this, especially in Montreal.
Like... Fair enough. Good on you, sir.
Thank you.
The thing is, like, in all consideration, I'm kind of curious as to what's going to happen.
I mean, just because, like, it's a huge head-scratcher.
Yeah. But, like, when's the last time that's happened for the Divas?
That
when you're sitting there going, when is Carmen coming back?
Yeah, that was, I mean, a few couple months ago when we knew Carmen was still with the company, yeah, we were looking forward to every Divas match because, like, any day now, any day now, any day now. But now we don't have that. So, it's...
I mean...
Now we're just... Now it's almost... I'm hesitant to use the word freak show, but kind of is. But just, like, what's going to happen now? Like, what are they going
to
do?
I mean, I'm not ready to jump to excited, but I'll happily sit, like, curious and would like to know the answers. And so, like, they should strike while that iron's hot, because, you know, I'm only curious for so long.
You're diva curious?
Then diva curious.
I'll give this one... 1.5 maths. I'll give it an extra half just for my curiosity.
All right. And your prediction?
Layla. Eve's going to come in and interfere somehow and start a Layla and Eve feud. Bam.
I'll go Caitlyn.
You're just disagreeing with me all.
Yeah, I am. A little bit.
You're just planning on just saying everything I'm saying?
Do you want me to go first next time?
Because then I'll feel the need to go against you.
Yeah, I'm gonna. All right. So next we have Randy Orton versus Dolph Ziggler.
Just leave it to Orton to make me not care about Ziggler. Like, he is just the fun sucker lately. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, there's not really, like, any tangible thing that he does or says that makes the things he's involved with unfun, but yet it happens.
Honestly, for me, now, I feel like everything around Randy Orton is, like, walking on eggshells because, like, he messes up again, he's gone.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, there's this, like, hesitancy to, like, really do anything with Randy Orton, and so, like, okay, here we go.
On top of the fact that we know that very soon he's going to have to leave for 24 rounds.
Right.
I'm going to call it that from now on. 24 rounds? I made fun of you in my head for saying that, but now I'm okay with it.
Why would they not call it 24 rounds? Or at least 13 rounds.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
At least go the Ocean's 12 round.
So. One more round. So this is, you know, very much a placeholder feud because Ziggler's kind of in that limbo where he's waiting for the heavyweight scene to free up, kind of, you know, clear himself a path for it. And then Randy's just kind of needing something to do. WWE's going to want him on camera because he still gets a giant reaction, mostly from the ladies.
He does get a huge pop.
I
every time.
I kind of knew it, but I didn't fully realize it until we went to Monday Night Raw a few months ago. We heard that reaction. Holy crap. Like, Cena didn't even get that reaction.
It was like explosion.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Dolph Ziggler.
I was already going to go Orton. How did you know I was going to go Orton? You knew.
What can I say?
I just think they're going to pull, like, Super Orton, you know, because that's just what they do with him now. Two maths for me, please.
One math each?
One and a half for Ziggler.
Ziggler gets half of Randy's math.
Yeah. He's so good that he takes other people's maths and eats it for math lunch. I don't know where I was going with that.
All right. United States Championship match.
Antonio
versus to be determined.
Okay, well let's go ahead
versus
and,
Tyson, I guess.
Yeah, let's go ahead and put him up against the guys that we picked.
Yeah.
I said Antonio versus Tyson Kidd. As hopeful as I am for that to happen, I don't think they're ready to take the belt off of Cesaro. Yeah.
Nah.
I mean, they're obviously trying something here with him, giving him the quick push, see if something catches. You know, it was the Sheamus and the Drew McIntyre approach. Like, send them out early, see if anything sticks, kind of situation.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there, and we'll, you know, build him from that point. Hopefully he has for his sake, he has a better outcome than the original Sheamus run and, you know, Drew McIntyre's entire career.
He needs to drop that five languages thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he does.
It's making his ring entrances take, like, Undertaker proportions.
And he is not at Undertaker level. He does not deserve that entrance. We'll allow it for Undertaker because
I need that log to just giggle and cheer to go
Undertaker ring. He cut his hair, you know. No.
I'll say Antonio on this one as the winner.
Yeah, I'll go with that too. I don't know. Star system is TBD.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Is like, yeah, if Tyson Kidd is in this match, more upvotes for you.
Yeah.
And if Santino, it might be Santino. I don't want to see Santino.
I'm done with Santino.
I don't need more the sock likes the girl jokes. Like,
oh, God, I forgot about that. Oh, God, you're right. Oh, we're going to get Santino.
Yeah.
Crap, we're going to get Santino. Why do you say things, Joel? You put it out in the universe.
It's going to happen.
Oh, God, I hate you.
It's going to happen.
Oh, God. I feel sick now.
All right, but carry on, my wayward son. Because next up is R-Truth and Kofi Kingston versus Team Friendship. Which...
That needs to be their...
Oh, no, Team Friendship. Absolutely.
I'm thinking, other than Team Friendship, they can either be Team Bane or Team Dane.
Bane or Dane?
Bane or Dane. I want to say Bane because I like...
Because you like Bane?
I like the Batman.
I don't know. Something sillier than that.
Okay, okay. Team friendship. Team friendship. Whatever.
Team friendship. Or something silly like goats and masks.
Masked goats.
Masked goats. The masked goats? Come on.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, masked goats. Which really just sounds like we're saying more goats in Spanish.
Muscoats.
Muscoats. Yeah,
kind of does.
Although I'm pretty sure there's a Spanish word for goat. but I didn't learn that in my 4 years of college Spanish. Anyways, this is a massive upgrade because we thought that it was going to be Truth and Kingston against the Primetime Players again.
Primetime Players minus one.
Well... Yes.
Forever minus one.
Forever minus one.
Although they added a whistle this week, which was
which pretty much
weird enough to be interesting.
It kind of serves the same purpose as AEW did, so, yeah. You know, yeah.
Yeah.
Who knew that a person, a living person, could be replaced by a whistle? Kind of makes me afraid for my job.
Yes.
A whistle's coming for me. it's just I have nothing but intrigue and interest for the team friendship, and I fully expect them to win.
I back that 100%. I am fully predicting a team friendship win here.
Yeah, because I mean, we both like R-Truth, we both like Kofi, but them as champions, it doesn't really seem like anything's really happening.
This entire time, they felt like a placeholder.
Yeah, and sadly enough, that's kind of what. Kofi kind of takes that role every time he has a belt. He just seems like he's a placeholder waiting for something else to come along.
And that's a shame because I would love to see Kofi in like a serious feud.
I would love that too. And you know what? Like, okay, sidebar here. I finally got around to listening to Kofi's episode of Art of Wrestling.
Yeah.
He's only been here for 4 years. He said he debuted in 2008. It feels like he's been here so much longer.
Because he's a constant worker. That's the thing. He's on all the time. He always gets a match because he always gets the nice, polite pop.
Yeah, like, it's just one of those weird things where, like, you have a tendency to, at least I do, to kind of get angry that, you know, Kofi hasn't been really given a chance or whatever. But you think about it, he's only been in the company for 4 years. A lot of people don't get that as far as he is in 4 years. So, I mean, he's still pretty young.
Yeah.
I would love to see him in a serious feud and kind of let him show off,
I mean,
some mic skills, some acting or something.
Yeah, the thing is, there's no reason for these two guys to be a tag team.
No.
Like, they're a tag team because somebody needed to have the title.
To be honest with you, I think them being champions kind of hold the both of them back.
Yeah, I agree. Like, the thing is, Air Boom felt like a genuine tag team.
Yeah.
The two guys complimented each other. This one feels like somebody's got to have these belts. So, my hope and dream for this match is, well, obviously, Team Friendship wins and takes it. This causes turmoil amongst Truth and Kofi, leading to a falling out and a re-heel turn for R-Truth and a revamping of Crazy Truth. And then we can have a genuine, like, Kofi versus Truth extended feud.
Going off the rails on a Crazy Truth. Yeah, I would love... Yeah. That would be the perfect scenario. excuse me.
I like how it sounds like I've just like ignored you this whole time. Well, as you coughed and died in the background.
No worries, fans.
It's like I was like, I can pull through this professionally, and you just can't like sit there.
No worries, fans. I'm okay. The juice that I was drinking just went down the wrong tube.
Oh man. Back to wrestling.
I honestly haven't thought of that scenario with R-Truth and Kofi. I'm not so sure if they want to turn Truth back heel.
I don't think they do, but I want it.
Depends on how big those little Jimmy shirts sell for.
I don't know how big a hit they would take.
I don't think they would. I don't think they would make that big of a hit. So, yeah. And you never know, it might spike sales. if they make him. Because, dear Lord, when he was Crazy Heel Truth, he was at the forefront.
I might, like, if I had to, you know, speak to the karma gods of wrestling, I might be willing to sacrifice, like, Punk being champion if I got Heel Truth back. Like, that was the one time that he worked in a main event scene. Like, it was a character that could have gone forever. That you could have had him, you know, brand new conspiracy every week. Never would have gotten old. Might have gotten old. But, but foreseeable future would not have gotten old.
I like how your idea of the wrestling gods have, like, some sort of bartering system.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, absolutely.
Like, we give you animal for you to eat, and you give us good things.
No, that's what it is. It's going to be like, I would like William Regal on commentary. They're like, okay, you have to watch NXT. He's like, no, Monkey Paw.
Monkey Paw?
Yeah, the little short story Monkey Paw.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you make a wish and something, like, it grants the wish, but it's in a terrible way.
Monkey Paw. Got it.
So.
Way to be obscure.
Monkey Paw is a very famous short story.
I know.
That I feel everyone has read.
Sure, whatever. But yet, they're not gonna... Okay, whatever, we're moving on.
Well, now we've explained it.
Yeah.
Everybody will understand what I'm talking about.
I love this match because it gives Daniel Bryan and Kane more of a reason to work together. And I think that is a beautiful thing right now because they are hitting a stride.
They're fantastic. It's the first tag team in a long time that feels like there's a reason for these people to be together.
And the people are behind it.
Yes.
Dear Lord, the people are behind it.
Absolutely.
So
milk it for all it's worth, guys.
So for that reason, I'm saying Kane and Daniel Bryan. And I'm giving it all of the maths.
Yes.
Just all of the maths.
As many maths as they would like.
A buffet of maths. As many maths that would make the wrestling gods happy.
Yes. And for our final match on Sunday, it's CM Punk versus John Cena.
I'm glad that we're actually getting a feud between CM Punk and Cena. We weren't getting that for the first few weeks.
Yeah.
You know, just CM Punk was more concerned with Lawler. He was more concerned with everything else, it seemed, than with Cena. And we really didn't get that until the car scene with Heyman and then the promo last night between the two of them and Bret Hart. First of all, that promo was gorgeous.
Here's the thing about this feud right now. Like, I was, as I said before, felt obligated to be excited because CM Punk. But honestly, CM Punk has not done a whole lot to make me excited for this.
No.
This feud. Like, he's been this pretty generic, you know, chicken out heel, I don't want to fight, and the world's against me, and unfair. And, like, sidebar, please don't do this to CM Punk.
No.
Like, if you need to have CM Punk heel, that's okay. But
have him be a fighting heel.
Don't have CM Punk not be CM Punk.
Yeah.
Because he works great as face and heel, and he needs to... But that's when he's CM Punk, so sidebar, bring back CM Punk. But, yeah, the real reason, like, the guy who's been really pushing this feud has been John Cena.
Especially that promo. That promo was good by both men. But obviously, Cena was the one looking stronger in the end, or at least Bret Hart was.
Well, there was that one, and then there was one a couple of weeks ago before, like, when CM Punk's, you have to say I'm the best in the world,
right,
and I'll give you...
That was another one. I completely forgot about
where
that.
It's
right.
Like, twice in the span of a month, Cena has gone toe-to-toe with Punk on mic and come out on top.
Yeah. That doesn't happen very often.
No.
And
I think it is, we've said before, Cena is always exactly as good as his opponent.
Right. And that's why I was excited with when... Just on the matchup itself, because Cena and Punk, they are really good in the ring together. I said that. I wanted this back when Punk was the leader of Nexus. I didn't get it then, really. And I was really happy to see them go off against each other between Money in the Bank, at Money in the Bank 2011, because we never really gotten that. And I felt like that needed to happen.
Yeah.
But that really didn't lead to much of a feud, really. It led to a SummerSlam match.
Yeah.
And that was it.
And that was it. And then he got,
we got then they
taken
both,
off for Triple H.
Yeah, and then they were both faces, and they became buddies for the next year.
Yeah, begrudging buddies. Who do you think? Who do you think is gonna take this one?
I'm staying hopeful. I'm gonna say CM Punk. But not in the way that I want. Like, I have a feeling they're gonna have him win in a very underhanded, slimy kind of way.
Heyman's got to be involved, right?
That's what I'm thinking too.
Like, I'm gonna go with CM Punk on this one. But also, like, John Cena's hometown is...
And see, that's what I think they can really... Because they've been trying really hard to get booze.
Yeah.
Going to CM Punk. I believe that their thinking is the best way for that to happen is for... To try to get a Cena in Chicago kind of reaction.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how that's going to work because Boston's never really been in Cena's pocket before.
Not Chicago.
Yeah, not overwhelmingly like Chicago is.
I mean, Boston's been a good crowd.
It's a good crowd.
But it's a good wrestling crowd. Like, they've been pleased with Punk as well.
Exactly. And Chicago is just better in every way, but I'm not biased at all.
Not in baseball.
And not football. And not basketball.
No, Chicago Bulls will always be the best basketball
hockey team. They can kind of go head-to-head. That's another story. Anyway,
another story for another podcast. Real sports, non-predetermined outcomes?
Chris,
what do you watch for?
Chris is
a bitter sportsmanship.
What is sportsmanship? It's being kind. This sportsmanship thing.
What is camaraderie? No.
It sounds too much like communism to me. That's pretty un-American. Sportsmanship is a communist attribute.
Let the USA chants begin.
USA. That's right. Hispanic USA chants.
So,
I have no idea where I was going.
CM Punk's gonna win?
Yeah, I think, especially if Punk wins in some sort of, like, underhanded manner, Boston's gonna go nuts, he'll get tons of heat, and they're hoping that'll carry over into wherever city they're in next, and go on from there. So, that's my understanding, and I'm just being hopeful.
I mean, you also, with these two guys feuding now, you have to take The Rock into consideration, I feel.
Exactly, and see, I feel like if they want Cena and Rock to go up against each other again, then might as well make it WrestleMania, okay? But we need something else.
Twice in a lifetime?
I know. You hate that moniker. But at the same time, The Rock is going... When The Rock faces whoever it is for the WWE Championship, they're going to want it to mean something. Want it to mean something huge. I think the bigger story is he goes up against a guy who's held the championship for over a year and has beaten everyone in his path. You know? And then goes in and the only guy that can beat him is The Rock. That's a pretty big story.
Yeah, but let me explain to you how it should go.
I just explained to you how it should go.
No, because...
How dare you say I'm wrong.
Here's how it should go. You have Punk and John Cena.
Yes.
I don't know if they could carry those two guys feuding each other every month until December. So maybe throw in a hiccup or something. Have John Cena beat CM Punk at TLC. So Punk's had it for a year. Then Cena has it till Royal Rumble. Loses it to The Rock. And to Rock's champion. Because we're, you know, kind of expecting Rock to be champion from Rumble till Mania.
Right.
So, then his challenge all contenders, Punk's big claim to, you know, claim to fame is that he held it for a year, Cena held it for a month. He's the one that deserves the WrestleMania match. WrestleMania...
And we could pull the whole thing where he never got his rematch.
Right. WrestleMania is Rock versus Punk. Punk wins. Next night, next Raw, Punk comes out, blah, blah. I've beaten the roster.
Mm-hmm.
I've beaten the past roster. Glass shatters. WrestleMania 30. Stone Cold CM Punk.
Okay, see, here's where you're wrong. You're not making it Rock versus CM Punk at Royal Rumble. That's what I want, and so therefore I'm still saying that I'm right. But you're not a bad option B, but I still like my option.
No, because...
And I have no plan past Royal Rumble. I have no idea.
But my way ends up with CM Punk and Stone Cold at WrestleMania 30.
You have this full, like, year and a half thing planned out.
Yeah, until WrestleMania 30. Like, you know that they are planning WrestleMania 30 right now.
Yeah.
It's WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
They have a tentative WrestleMania 30 card sitting
right
in the
office. And I know that, like, they're going, I have a feeling 29 is just going to be a flashy show. You know,
yeah.
their real aim is 30. Probably at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Which means it's going to be in New York for 2 years in a row.
Well, that's okay.
It's going to be a cold, cold WrestleMania.
Everybody's going to have the new finisher, the nipple cutter.
The nipple cutter. Just, oh my god. Just, shwing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one WrestleMania I'm not too mad at for not getting tickets. Because I don't like the cold.
No, I will wait to get my WrestleMania tickets.
It's okay.
Like, go back to Florida. It's like, I gotta wait for The Rock to be main event again. It's like, no, I get his hometown.
Yeah. So, I'm willing to give... I'm still gonna say CM Punk. I'll give it 4.5 mats.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as excited as I am for this match, the reason I'm excited is because of what the fallout will be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which, to be fair, was, last July...
What was
the fallout?
Yeah.
You know, if either guy wins, what's the fallout going to be? That's how it is this time, is how are they going to carry what we assume is going to be the main feud until Rumble. So how are they going to...
And another reason for me saying what I'm saying is I feel like they're going to want to keep the belt on Punk at least until the DVD comes out.
I could believe that. That's the thing. Is like,
they've been hyping that DVD for a long time.
It is a weird time to turn him heel right before you release his DVD.
Yeah, and they recorded it basically WrestleMania Over the Limit.
Yeah.
Not Over the Limit, Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
They rapped at Extreme Rules. So it's a weird thing to have it come out now, and that kind of makes me think that maybe that they just turned CM Punk heel just for Cena. And I don't know if they're going to keep them that way or they're just going to just scrap it after they're done.
I could even see, like, Punk winning and Cena taking some time off. Like, you know, last time Cena's taken some time off has been...
I can't remember.
Eons ago.
Probably an injury, like, 3-4 years ago.
Like, he had that 1 week off when Wade Barrett, he broke an ankle... at a house show, going against Wade Barrett, like,
In
the middle of the Nexus stuff.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, but other than that, so...
He said he was going to take some time off after that Brock Lesnar fight. By time off, he means...
He took a whole bathroom break.
He took a whole bathroom break and was back.
Yep. So,
I mean, obviously, other than that, we're probably going to get some random matches.
Yeah.
A Ryback match.
Rumored... Intercontinental Championship involves a triple threat between Miz, Cody Rhodes, and Rey Mysterio.
Why not? And they're just going to say, screw you, Sin Cara? Because he's been involved with all three of those guys.
Maybe it'll be a Fatal 4-Way.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I would really, you know, there's been subtle hints at a Miz and Cody Rhodes feud.
Yeah, like, we haven't really mentioned it, but obviously there was a lot of craziness going on Monday. And what kind of got lost in the shuffle was that I think Cody Rhodes hit Miz in the head with his Intercontinental belt. I don't know if that was supposed to be a face turn or what, and just, you know, no one really noticed it because they had their attention elsewhere. So I have no idea.
I'd be cool if they were both heels. Like,
oh yeah.
The thing is, you don't get a heel versus heel match because, you know, there's nobody to cheer for. So it's very, very, very rare to get one of those. But I really feel like with this, you know, reality era that we're, like, dragging our feet into.
Right.
You can do that. You could have two heels have a feud against one another because, you know, people still like to watch them for their character and stuff. And
oh, yeah.
So would
you call this, like, what we're in now as the reality era? Like, post-PG?
Like,
because I feel like we're coming out of the PG stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
Like, full-on PG. Like, there is some PG elements now, but it just doesn't seem as overt anymore.
That's the thing. That's why I said, like, dragging our feet, because it feels like, you know,
We're definitely in a transition.
Yeah, like, we, you know, when we talked about, you know, Punk, you know, came out, and we're like, this is it, reality. Fourth walls are going to be shattered on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
You know, work shoots every day. Fantastic.
Nash is going to come out and talk about guaranteed contracts. Yeah.
So, you know, as Cena said, we didn't really get a lot of what we wanted.
Right.
So it's a thing where, like, I don't know, and, you know, we'll look back on it and we'll still probably be point to that moment and be like, that was when it all began.
Yeah.
But it, you know, I don't know if it'll be the reality era that we spoke of where, you know, they will acknowledge people knowing, you know, behind the scenes stuff and
yeah.
You know, we like wrestler blank as a heel, so although we boo, we really cheer. So, yeah. I guess, yeah, we do need to take a moment to mention Jerry Lawler.
Yeah.
And, you know,
obviously, if you're listening to the podcast, you probably heard exactly what happened, and you've probably been keeping up with, you know, his condition and stuff. It was just it's really hard to find words to say exactly how it was to be watching that episode. I'm leaning towards just saying that the experience was just strange.
Yeah.
Very, very nerve-wracking. It was very tense. I do remember being nervous every time they cut back to Cole, anytime he gave an update
yeah. Because
you just didn't know what kind of an update he was giving. And, you know, very fortunately, you know, every update seemed to be a little bit more encouraging.
Yeah,
the
earliest updates, and especially the stuff that was coming in through Twitter right away.
Yeah, and obviously, like, I was on our Twitter for the podcast, and the people I follow, they were talking a lot about it. They were very upset and very leery of what was going on, why no one's saying anything, why Cole was being so quiet. It was just, and, you know, we're also getting a lot of tweets from people who claim to be on the inside, knowing exactly what's going on or being backstage or whatever. And it was kind of hard just to sift through exactly what was actually going on. I mean, it turns out no one was very far off. Like, no, was no one coming out and saying anything, just out of the blue or just doom and gloom or anything like that. I think that in that moment, we as wrestling fans, have a lot to be proud of. Yeah. Michael Cole, he came through and he powered through.
Michael that. Cole, like, deserves some special recognition for how he handled,
You know. And then turn around, and I saw today, he went on Fox and Friends to just, because they were, you know, it's a news story, so they were covering it, and so they brought in Michael Cole to give his first-hand experience, and he relived it in, like, a two-minute span and kept his full composure about it. Like, and we all saw how broken up he was about everything, and the fact that he can come on TV a couple days removed and have himself collected enough to get through that, to tell them exactly what happened and really defend Jerry Lawler, because, you know, the first question that they asked was, how old was he? Because this was right after they talked about, he just had a match 20 minutes before that. They asked how old he was. You know, he told him he was 62, and the next thing out of their mouths was, do you think he's too old to be doing that? And without skipping a beat, Michael Cole said, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Because this is what he loves, and he wrestles. He still wrestles, I think he said, over 150 matches a year, including independent stuff around the world. And he never, the thought of fully retiring never really crossed his mind. So it was Michael Cole. He made us all very proud.
An incredible amount of respect for Michael Cole right now.
Yeah, and another thing we can be proud of, you know, a lot of people on Twitter, we have a tendency to be really harsh on Lawler for his commentating, for the things he says, and you know, it causes a little bit of hatred towards his way. But in that moment when we didn't know what was going on, that all seemed to go out the window, and everyone really was concerned for him as a human being.
Yes.
And it just seemed like the wrestling community, especially online, just kind of stuck together. It depended on each other for hearing news, and when someone heard something that was any kind of encouraging about his condition, they went out and sent it, and everyone kind of just stuck together. So, it's a very unfortunate moment, especially for Jerry Lawler, and we don't know exactly what this means for him going forward, or exactly what his health is going to look like from here on out. I do know this. I did see that they did they ran some tests, and they found that he does not have any brain damage, which is it's borderline a miracle, because from what I heard, they did had to use the defibrillator, I think they said 7 times, which means that his heart was not beating for at least 10 minutes. And for him not to have brain damage from that is borderline miraculous. And so the fact that he's going to come through this with very little brain damage, we don't know about the physical toll just yet. But the fact that he's responsive now, they said he's awake.
He's awake, he's alert, and he's, you know, although he can't speak
because of tubes,
he's writing full written responses.
That was another thing Michael Cole said. They said he is on a breathing tube. That's more just of helping his body react to the shock. But the fact that he's showing this much improvement in, you know, the past 36, 48 hours is brilliant. And, you know, obviously, we're not going to hope that he comes back right away, because we don't want him to rush anything. But, you know, we look forward to seeing him back healthy.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously taking as much time as he needs. It really made that last 45 minutes of Raw just, you really had to wonder how they were continuing with the show. Like, there was some people who had segments very closely after that. You can tell that they were shaken up.
Yeah.
But yeah, they still powered through it. And that's another thing that we can be proud of, that these people are dedicated to what they do so much, and they rallied around each other and depended on each other to carry out what they were supposed to do for the fans And, you know, for Lawler, because Lawler would have wanted... Lawler would not have wanted them to stop anything on his account.
There is no way Lawler wants to be known as the first guy to ever stop an episode of Raw halfway through.
Right. Yeah. He... Nah, he would have had very choice words for anyone yes. who was involved in that decision. Yes. So, the fact that they powered through and the fact that, you know, we got such a great promo out of Cena and Punk, given the circumstances, is remarkable by those men. The fact that we got full matches and, you know, guys still, you know, still giving it their all and not phoning it in.
Right.
It's very admirable. So, it's a very... I come away with this being a proud wrestling fan and feeling a large sense of pride to the way everyone reacted to this.
No, I agree. I agree. And, you know, and as much as we have, you know, complained about Lawler's character...
Oh, yeah, and trust me, my opinions haven't changed.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. But at the end of the day, Lawler is still always going to be the guy that called those matches when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And really, you know, with him with JR, really made those matches work.
You know, and it's one of those things where it's like, I'm sure a lot of the complaints that we have, it just seems like he's out of place with Michael Cole. And we're not, you know, obviously we're not saying anything bad about Michael Cole. It's just a different chemistry that... I don't know if we're just not used to, or we just are unsure of, or it just doesn't work. But obviously, you know, Jerry the King Lawler has done so much for the wrestling world.
Company and the business.
For decades.
And, yeah.
You know, and he deserves a lot of respect in that regard. You know, you can call him, you can, you know, his personal life decisions, the things he says on the mic, you can, you know, scrutinize that all you want. You know, that's what wrestling is. You know, that's what the business is, really. You know, you're opening yourself up to that. But you have to just take a step back and realize exactly everything this guy's done for this business. And you just have to have, like, I don't see how you can't have a ton of respect for him.
I do, absolutely.
I know, I preach to the choir.
I know, but, I think on that note, it's time for us to wrap up.
Yep, let's wrap it.
So, as always, you can follow us on Mondays and some Thursdays and Fridays and most Sundays when there's something to talk about. On Twitter @CRAttire.
Make sure you send us an email. Any comments, questions, thoughts, anything you want to address on the show. I want some hate mail. Just come on, guys. I know you guys disagree with
everything.
And I want to fight, okay? Let's just go ahead and say it. I want
to
fight.
We picked a lot of opposing choices this week.
Yeah.
One of us has to be wrong.
So, I mean, even if it's, you know...
It's grass.
Shut up. If it's late Sunday night and you've watched Night of Champions and one of us is wrong and you just want to write, like, a 38-page email that all it says is ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha for 38 pages... That's fine, too, because I will call you a scumbag.
We'll read at least the first few pages of that.
At least, yeah. Yeah.
We also have a Tumblr, classicringattire.tumblr.com, where you can find old episodes of this podcast as well as other wrestling shenanigans.
And if you're listening to us through wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.